staying on top of things these days, it feels like a full-time job, doesn't it? Just sifting through endless information.
Yeah, trying to grasp the essentials. It's tough.
Exactly. And that's precisely why we do the deep dive. We try to extract that crucial knowledge, those aha moments, and deliver them to you without all the noise.
Think of it as getting expert insights without having to dedicate hours and hours to the research yourself. Wow. We're here to make complex stuff understandable.
And hopefully, a little bit surprising too.
Hopefully.
And today we're venturing into a really interesting space where our understanding of human behavior meets the practical world of pharmacy research.
Mm-hmm. Our exploration today is grounded in a comprehensive review. It was published just this year, 2024, in the International Journal of Clinical Pharmacy.
Okay.
And this review, it meticulously analyzed a whole bunch of studies within pharmacy practice.
And the core question they were tackling was basically how and how often these pharmacy studies were actually using behavioral theories. Is that right?
Spot on. They wanted to map out the use of these theories.
So for you listening, our aim is pretty straightforward. A clear, concise grasp of this topic. We want to highlight the key trends, potential implications.
Right. Equipping you with valuable knowledge without you needing to, you know, get bogged down in all the academic detail.
Consider it your shortcut to being truly informed on this.
Okay.
Okay. So let's unpack this. What exactly is pharmacy practice research, and why is the human element, the behavior part, so central?
Okay. So pharmacy practice research, as our source defines it, it's basically the scientific investigation into all the different aspects of what pharmacists do and the impact their work has on, well, healthcare systems, how medicines are used, and ultimately patient health. The big goals are improving outcomes, making access easier, and boosting medication safety.
That makes perfect sense. But I think when many of us think of pharmacy, we might just picture, you know, counting pills, dispensing prescriptions. Where does behavior fit in so strongly?
That's a great point. And while dispensing is obviously key, almost every part of pharmacy practice, when you dig into it, involves someone changing their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's encouraging pharmacists themselves to adopt new ways of working, supporting patients to take their meds correctly, or even influencing the public's views on medicines, behavior change is often right at the heart of it.
So it's not just the drug science, it's the human science of getting those drugs used effectively.
Exactly, precisely. And that's where understanding why people do what they do, which is what behavioral theories try to explain, becomes so critical.
Okay.
Our source actually mentions the UK Medical Research Council, the MRC framework. It's for developing and evaluating complex interventions.
Ah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's like a roadmap for researchers. And it really emphasizes using theory right from the start, thinking about why something might work in every single phase of the research.
Okay, so theory isn't just academic navel-gazing here. It's a practical tool. Now, the review looked at different types of these theoretical approaches. How do they break that down?
Yeah, they did. The review helps clarify things by distinguishing between theories, models, and frameworks. So theories, in this context, they're the broad explanations. They try to explain how and why certain factors lead to certain outcomes. The underlying mechanisms, really.
So digging into the fundamental whys. Got it.
Exactly. Models, on the other hand, they tend to be narrower, more descriptive. They give a more specific picture of a problem or a system. Kind of like theories applied to a specific situation.
Okay.
And then frameworks are more about organizing things. They provide a structure, categories to help classify different aspects, but they don't necessarily explain the why themselves.
Right. So maybe like theories are the big laws of physics, models are the blueprints for a specific engine using those laws, and frameworks are like the labels on the drawers in your toolbox.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, theories explain why, models describe specific what's, and frameworks help organize the pieces.
Excellent. Now, the review mentioned some specific examples that popped up a lot. Can you give us a quick rundown of the key ones they found?
Sure. One theory that came up frequently was social cognitive theory, you know, Bandura's work. The core idea there is that our behavior is shaped by this interplay between our own experiences, watching others, and our social environment. External factors are really important.
Okay, makes sense. What else?
Then there's the theory of planned behavior, or TPB. That one suggests our intention to do something is the strongest predictor of actually doing it.
Right.
And that intention comes from our attitude towards the behavior, what we think others expect, they call that subjective norms, and how much control we feel we have over doing it.
Intention being the key driver. Yeah, that feels pretty intuitive. What other common ones were there?
The trans-theoretical model, often called the stages of change model, that proposes change is an instant. It unfolds through six stages, you know, from not even thinking about change all the way to maintaining a new habit.
The stages, yes.
And another big one was the COMB model. It suggests any behavior happens because of three interacting things: capability, our physical and psychological ability; opportunity, so the environment; social and physical.
Gotcha.
And motivation, our conscious and unconscious drive. So COMB, capability, opportunity, motivation.
COMB. That's a really clear, practical way to think about the building blocks. Was there one more major one?
Yes, the Theoretical Domains Framework, or TDF. This one's a bit different. It's more of an integrative framework. It pulls together concepts from many different psychological theories. I think it covers about 14 different domains.
Wow, 14.
Yeah, it's particularly useful for understanding all the different reasons why it might be hard to implement new healthcare practices. So it's like a comprehensive toolkit for those implementation challenges.
Okay, a whole range of lenses there. Mm-hmm. So with all these approaches available, what did the review actually find when they looked at how they were being used in pharmacy practice research? What were the main patterns?
Well, one of the clearest trends was a definite increase in the use of these theories, models, and frameworks over time. Especially, the review noted, a marked jump after 2014.
After 2014. Huh. Any idea why then, specifically?
The review doesn't speculate too much, but it's an interesting observation. Maybe shifts in funding priorities or research training, or maybe wider recognition of the MRC framework we mentioned. It's definitely something worth pondering.
Coup for thought. So it's a growing field of focus. How many studies actually made it into their final analysis?
They ended up including 50 research articles that met their criteria, and these spanned from 2006 right up to 2022.
50 studies. And where was this research happening? Geographically?
Yeah.
And in what kind of pharmacy settings?
Geographically, most of it, the vast majority actually, was from North America.
Okay.
And in terms of setting, community pharmacies were the most common place researchers were looking. Interestingly, they also found the focus tended to be more on the pharmacy professionals, like pharmacists or technicians, rather than directly on patients themselves.
That's interesting. So community pharmacy is a hot spot, and the focus is often on the professionals. Now, going back to those specific theories, which ones were the rock stars, the most frequently used?
The theory of planned behavior, TPB, and the theoretical domains framework, TDF. Those two were reported most often by far.
TPB and TDF again.
Yeah.
So researchers seem really drawn to understanding intentions and using that big TDF framework for implementation issues.
Seems that way. Yeah.
Okay. So what kinds of questions were these studies asking? What were they trying to figure out using these theories?
Well, the review found that most studies, and this lines up with that early stage, phase one of the MRC framework, were mainly focused on exploring the determinants of behavior.
Meaning
they were trying to identify the factors that influence why people do certain things or what makes it easier or harder, the facilitators and barriers to implement new pharmacy services.
Okay, so understanding the landscape. Can you give us some examples of the kinds of services they looked at?
Sure. Things like initiatives to improve how patients manage their multiple medications, what's often called medicines optimization, or setting up immunization clinics in pharmacies, or looking at pharmacists taking on prescribing roles. Really practical frontline services where behavior is key.
Very concrete examples. Now, did the studies mostly stop there at just understanding the why, or did they move on to actually testing interventions designed using these theories?
That's a really crucial point the review highlighted. They found that while lots of studies did that foundational work understanding the behavior, identifying barriers considerably fewer moved into those later MRC stages.
So less research on
what?
Testing. Evaluating.
Exactly. Less research looking at, you know, is this theoretically sound intervention actually feasible? Does it work in the real world? What's the impact if we roll it out more widely? That evidence seemed thinner on the ground in the studies they reviewed.
So lots of groundwork, but maybe a gap in translating that understanding into proven practical solutions within this specific published research base. Okay, let's dig a bit deeper into how the theories were used. You said TPB and TDF were common. How were they actually applied in the research process?
Well, the review indicated the most common applications were, one, informing the development of data collection tools like interview questions or survey items.
Okay.
And two, guiding the actual analysis of the data once it was collected.
Can you walk us through an example? How might that work?
Yeah, sure. The review mentioned a study using the theory of planned behavior, the TPB. They wanted to understand barriers community pharmacists faced doing medication reconciliation for patients just out of hospital.
Right, a common challenge.
Right. So they designed their interview questions specifically to probe the pharmacists' attitudes about doing it, what they thought colleagues expected the subjective norms, and how confident they felt they could actually do it effectively perceived behavioral control. All key TPB elements.
Got it. They built the questions around the theory.
Exactly. And then when they analyzed the interview transcripts, they organized their findings using those same TPB categories, identifying themes within each one.
Okay, so the theory really structured the whole process from asking to analyzing. That sounds like a solid use. But the review also hinted at some inconsistencies, right, in how theories were chosen or justified.
Yes, that was a really important finding. A key concern was that the justification for picking a specific theory often wasn't very clear.
How so?
Well, many studies would say something like, "We use Theory X to inform our interview guide," but they wouldn't really explain why Theory X was the best fit for their research question compared to, say, Theory Y or Z. That explicit connection between the research aims and the chosen theory was often missing, or at least not well articulated. The review noted only a minority of studies really nailed that clear link.
So it makes you wonder if sometimes theory is included because it feels like you should, rather than a deep consideration of the best theoretical lens.
That's certainly a possibility the review raises. It seems there's room for more rigor in just selecting and justifying the theoretical approach.
What about studies that used multiple theories? Did they explain why they combined them?
Sometimes, yes. They might cite potential synergies, how different theories could illuminate different facets of the problem. But again, in several cases, the rationale for the specific combination wasn't spelled out clearly. It wasn't always obvious what unique contribution each theory made or how they were integrated.
Right. So more clarity needed there too. Okay. Despite these areas needing improvement, the review did point out benefits that researchers reported from using theory. What were the positives?
The most common benefit reported was that using theory led to a more comprehensive, more nuanced understanding of whatever they were studying, compared to studies that didn't use an explicit theoretical lens.
Okay, deeper understanding.
And second, it helped pinpoint specific psychological or social factors influencing behavior. This deeper insight could then, theoretically, lead to better targeted interventions or policies.
So, richer understanding, better targets for action, those sound like solid advantages. What about the flip side? Did researchers report running into challenges when they tried to apply these theories?
This was really interesting. The review found that authors very rarely reported any difficulties or challenges they faced when actually using the theories in their research.
Really? That seems surprising.
It is quite notable. It could just be that applying them was mostly straightforward in these cases, or maybe researchers are less likely to detail the bumps in the road in their publications. It's hard to say for sure, but the lack of reported challenges stood out.
Yeah, you'd expect applying complex ideas to messy reality might involve some challenges. Okay, so pulling all this together, what were the main takeaways from the review? What did they conclude, and where should research head next?
Well, the big conclusion was that while using behavioral theories in pharmacy practice, research is definitely growing, which is positive.
Right.
There's a real need for more thorough and systematic reporting about how they're being used. That includes, clearly stating why a theory was chosen, giving details on how it was applied at each research stage, and importantly, being more open about any challenges faced.
So transparency and detail in the reporting is key. What else?
They strongly recommended more research gets published specifically within pharmacy practice journals that takes theory into those later stages, the feasibility testing, the effectiveness evaluations, the implementation impact studies, bridging that gap we talked about earlier.
Moving beyond just understanding the problem to testing the solutions.
Exactly. And they also floated the idea of maybe developing a specific reporting checklist for studies using behavioral theory in this field to kind of nudge researchers towards more comprehensive reporting.
A checklist, like a prompt to make sure all the bases are covered regarding theory use. Makes sense. Any other future directions highlighted?
Just one more main point. They called for more research on research. Studies looking specifically at whether theories are actually being applied correctly in pharmacy practice and really exploring the practical hurdles researchers face when using them. This could help improve the quality of how theory is used overall.
Okay, so not just more theory use, but better, more thoughtful, more transparent, and more rigorously evaluated use. That gives us a really clear picture. So, bringing our deep dive on this review to a close, what's the key message you think our listeners should walk away with?
I think the central message is that behavioral science is increasingly recognized as important in pharmacy research, which is great. But there's still a significant opportunity to really deepen how these powerful theoretical tools are applied and how that application is shared with the research community.
Right.
Doing that better has real potential to lead to more effective ways to support patients and improve pharmacy services overall.
And that leads perfectly into our final thought for you, the listener. We've talked a lot about theory and pharmacy research, but take a moment and think about your own life. Think about a time you tried to change a health behavior, maybe exercising more, eating differently, sticking to a medication.
We've all been there.
Exactly. How might understanding some of these ideas, like the power of intention, the stages of change, or thinking about your capability, opportunity, and motivation, how might that have given you a different perspective on why it was hard, or maybe suggested different strategies you could have tried? Could it help unlock understanding barriers or finding new ways forward?
It's just a thought to consider. This deep dive, we hope, gives you a solid grounding in how behavioral science is intersecting with one specific area of healthcare.
But the principles, as you say, have much wider relevance, don't they?
Absolutely. Understanding that interplay between human behavior and these practical fields, pharmacy, but really any field involving people, it's incredibly valuable. It helps us move from just knowing what sometimes works to really understanding why.
And that why is where the potential for real, lasting progress often lies. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.